They're known as some of the original recyclers. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association is a sponsor of the Business News Hour. With members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, delivering ag parts to farmers and ranchers. NTPDA.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. We are grateful for Dr. Corinne Peek-Asa, who is with us on our newsmaker line from the University of Iowa College of Public Health. And we're going to be talking about agriculture, injuries, health care, and a whole myriad of things in a recently published piece in the American Journal of Industrial Medicine, Farm Injuries and Healthcare Issues in Agriculture. Dr. Peek-Asa, welcome to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you're here.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you covering the story and are really happy to talk about what we've learned.
Well, you know, this is a stunning piece of work. It really is, because and I'll let you explain what the methodology was and what the high points of this that you learned while you were working on this piece. Go right ahead, please.
Sure. If I can start with a couple sentences about the background of why we did this.
Absolutely.
Because it's a little bit of a researchy, nerdy study, but we think it has really important implications. And so generally, we have pretty good data about people who are killed on the job. There are censuses of fatal occupational injuries conducted by the Bureau of Labor Statistics that tie a death to work. However, when we look at non-fatal traumatic injuries, which can be very costly, they can be devastating
Yes.
to workers, workplaces, and their families, we can't really count them very well. And one of the problems, or one of the sources that we think about, are medical records. So if you have a traumatic injury, chances are good you may go to the hospital. The more severe injuries will lead to you being admitted to the hospital, and we collect data from hospital admissions. However, that data doesn't include any information about whether or not that hospitalization was related to your work. So one way nationally, we've thought about trying to get counts, and we see studies counting occupational injuries, are looking at the payer source. So what is the insurance provider? And guessing that if workers' compensation pays for the hospitalization, there's a very good chance that that injury was related to someone's work. And that probably is a very good source for injuries that happen in things like construction or manufacturing, where the injuries most likely occur on the job, and there's a very clean relationship to work and no other sources that would cover that injury.
Sure. There's an HR department. There are supervisors. There's an employee handbook. There's all those things that constitute a business, right?
Exactly. But we at the University of Iowa are very interested in agricultural safety and injury prevention, and making sure our entrepreneurial farmers are working under the healthiest conditions possible. So we wanted to look at whether or not workers' compensation would be a good way to identify national incidents and trends in agricultural-related injuries. And we can't use the same data sources to identify that because the medical record doesn't have information about whether or not the injury was work-related, nor do they have any information that ties that injury to a farm or farm work. But in Iowa, we are very lucky to have what's called the State Trauma System. It is managed by the Iowa Department of Public Health. And under that system is the State Trauma Registry. And the State Trauma Registry is data provided by all trauma hospitals in Iowa about injuries that, you know, that happen throughout the state. But they include both an indicator about whether or not the injury was work-related, as well as a separate indicator that ties it to a farm or not, because many injuries that occur on a farm might not be related to farm work. And so we are able to get a research piece of this data from the Iowa Department of Public Health under, you know, a specific request and a memorandum of understanding. I do want to point out, because I think, and I understand people are very sensitive about medical data, we get no identifiers. So we do not get any record numbers, any names, any ages. We get age categories. We don't get any locations. So we're not able to pick individuals out of this database, but we can look at it as a, you know, as a global.
Sure, as incidents of trauma. Yeah.
Right. So we then looked at the injuries that were both indicated as work-related and tied to a farm. So these are work-related farm injuries. And we looked at who the payer sources were. And what we found out is that more than 80% of farm work-related injuries are covered by providers other than workers' compensation.
Yep. Okay.
So that indicates to us that if we, you know, if we want to do studies in the larger hospital databases, we can't really very accurately use workers' compensation as an indicator for farm-related injuries.
Right. What'd you find out, Doctor?
So we measured, we compared agricultural occupational injuries, and we wanted to have a comparison group.
Sure.
So we looked at rural non-agricultural injuries. And so what we found is a measure called sensitivity, which is how likely is it that if we use workers' compensation, we'll identify all of the agricultural occupational injuries. And what we found is that more than 80% of them did not use workers' comp as a payer source. It was also interesting that only about 65% of the rural non-agricultural injuries used workers' comp as a payer source. But what we also found is that when workers' comp was used, that's very accurate. It's, you know, it's very likely that the medical record talked about it being work-related and that work tie was very clear. So workers' comp is an accurate data source that when it's used, it is a work-related injury, but it's not a good source to identify, especially agricultural occupational injuries. We found that it was a little better for males than females, that it was better for the normal adult working age, so 18 to 64, and that farmers over 65 were even less likely. They're more than 90% used other sources. And probably they're, of course, when you're eligible for Medicare, that might be the source that's used. But also that about 90% of farm workers that are under 18 and injured, only about 10% of those used workers' compensation. And we also found that the more severe the injury was, the more likely workers' compensation was to be used.
If I'm not using workers' compensation, which doesn't surprise me at all, unless I guess your farm is incorporated and you have some type of workers' comp within the farm structure, or if you have employees of the farm, I get all of that. What's the economic impact on individuals who are injured in Iowa that cannot turn to workers' compensation? As you've indicated, the vast majority of these injuries are not covered by workers' comp. So they must be either private insurance, Medicare, Medicaid, or out-of-pocket expenses. So there must be a big number there somewhere.
Yes. So we were able to look at categories of payment source. We weren't able to look at individual payer because that would be considered identifying. So we were able to look at private insurance. And there what we found is about 40% of the injuries were covered by private payer sources. So that would be something like a private insurance policy. About 21% were covered by public sources. That would include Medicare. So when we look at the older farmers, and certainly when we look at the workforce, farming has a much higher distribution of older injuries just because farmers farm into much older ages. But we did find that about 11% were uninsured. So those are farmers who are working. They're injured while they're working, but they don't have any insurance coverage for that. And then another 10% were other, which is interesting to us. We don't know exactly what those are, but we're wondering. So, for example, farmers are likely to be injured in transportation. So our car insurance policies covering this, we aren't sure about that. Or maybe something related to property insurance. So we're interested in digging a little bit more into the other category, but we don't really have a good way to get that level of data.
What does this this overarching theme tell you about the status of agriculture and individuals who are injured, much less access to health care out there in rural parts of the country?
So we've looked at this trauma data to look at some other things as well, because one thing we learned from fatalities is that agriculture has a very high fatality rate. And partly that's because it's such a complex operation. There's machinery, there's transportation, there's weather. So the exposures are really very complex. But we don't have really good data to look at non-fatal injuries. We looked at the trauma registry from 2005 and 2013, and during that time, we found that agricultural injuries were increasing. So that's a concern to us. The major categories of farm-related injuries are transportation, falling, working with machinery and exposures that can be either heat or cold.
And with regard to that, one of the explanations very well may be average age of the Iowa farmer anyway is on the north side of 57. And so we have lots of older workers out there in sometimes very isolated places. I would imagine that some of these injuries can be exacerbated relative to the severity of them if one is not close to A, medical transportation, or B, medical facilities. Did you look at that at all?
We have looked at that. And we looked at that when there was some media controversy about rural EMS providers. And
yes,
we thought it was important to debunk that because we have an amazing group of passionate rural EMS providers who are largely volunteer, but as well trained and follow the same triage protocols as all EMS providers. So we looked at rural care and we divided it up into times. So time of when the injury happened, time of when the injury was discovered. So was there a period when someone was injured but no one knew about it?
Mm-hmm.
Time to get EMS to the scene, time on the scene, and time to get to a healthcare facility. And you're right that in rural areas, the increased time is almost exclusively due to just the distance in getting someone to the scene and to the hospital. The time on the scene is the same regardless of where you're injured.
Sure.
So the EMS providers, once they're able to get to you, function the same across the state. But certainly, so we need to think about how can we reduce the time of discovery. And so there are some innovative projects going on at Iowa State, some here at the University of Iowa, that will help passively identify when there might be something like a tractor rollover. So if, or maybe giving tractor drivers a button, some like the fall prevention button,
sure,
that if you're
sure
unable to make a phone call, you can push the button and it'll come and help for you. And then it's, you know, just difficult to do much about the distance.
Yeah.
but I will say Iowa has a very robust triage system under the Trauma Care Act, that no matter where you're injured, there will be decisions about how severely you're injured to get you to the right hospital right away. So if you need orthopedic specialists or neurosurgeons, you'll be transported immediately to what we call a level one trauma hospital, which is a hospital that can give you all the specialty services that you need.
And those
we're
are
very fortunate.
Yeah, and those are strategically located around the state, yes?
Unfortunately, it's very expensive to maintain level one trauma care. Oh. So we actually only have two level one hospitals or hospitals that provide the highest level of care. And those are in Des Moines and Iowa City. But we do have a lot of local hospitals that can help with stabilization, get you stable enough that you to get you quickly to another hospital. So we do have a very good distribution of healthcare resources. You know, but for example, to provide level one trauma care, you need to have an orthopedic surgeon and a neurosurgeon and all the levels of specialty right there at the hospital within, you know, the time you get to the hospital. And it when you don't have a high volume of trauma cases, it's just not cost effective to maintain those services.
When you take a look at all of the data that you've gotten put together, and thank you, by the way, once again, ladies and gentlemen, our guest is Dr. Corinne Peek-Asa from the University of Iowa College of Public Health. We're talking about farm injuries and some that are most of which are unreported, and the impact that those have. When you look at all of this data and you take a look at the response time and everything rolled into one, only the two level one trauma centers, what kind of suggestions, if there are, or is there for legislators in Iowa, rural and urban, and the educational community when it comes to dealing with this issue? Is there anything that comes at the back end of this that say, okay, these are some things that we need to consider?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And so I'm in public health. So really what we want is to prevent poor health outcomes.
Sure.
So when we think about how devastating an injury can be, what we really want is to focus efforts on preventing those injuries.
Right.
So certainly that involves a lot of community outreach and really supporting a strong safety culture in the farming community. So one of the best ways from a policy standpoint to support a safe farming culture is to reduce as many stresses in the farming operation as possible. Because you can imagine if you are working with, you know, unpredictable weather conditions, unpredictable tariffs, everything is so unpredictable. If we can, you know, it's very hard to stay very focused on what is a very complicated scope of work.
Totally understand.
So it may seem unconnected, but policies that support, you know, farming operations from a production standpoint, access to, you know, machinery that's cost effective, all the way to somewhat predictable profit margins, that's going to help farmers concentrate on the safety of their operation, making sure there's adequate workforces to help with farming. And I think certainly, you know, people moving away from rural areas.
Yes.
So revitalization of our rural areas, I think, can also help support the farming safety culture. But also making sure farmers have access to all of the best information about how to safely operate their farms and make sure they have access to all the safety equipment they need in a cost-effective way. Because if your farming operation is, you know, not breaking even, it's going to be really hard to invest in the safety pieces of that if you have to replace, you know, personal protective equipment, or if you need to you know, decide between a tractor that has a safe cab and rollover protection versus one that doesn't. So I do think that both, you know, we think about what's called the socio-ecologic model, which is the individual that has to make safe choices, but then all of the family, community, and socio-political influences that can help support those choices are really important. And I think, as you said, the policy element of that is very important.
Corinne Peek Asa, ladies and gentlemen, University of Iowa College of Public Health, the farmers and farm and agricultural workers who may be unreported with regard to injuries. And this was recently published in the American Journal of Industrial Medicine. Dr. Peek Asa, thank you so much for spending time with us. I do really appreciate this. This is a real seminal issue that that Iowa and the other rural states across the United States need to take a hard look at. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Once again, that was Corinne Peek Asa from the University of Iowa. An interesting discussion about unreported injuries in agriculture. We will have links to that report and other items that we talked about up on our radio blog. Well, that about wraps it up for another broadcast day. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us associated with the Business News Hour, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing falls to Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett, exclusively for the Business News Hour. For all those folks and for Dr. Peek Asa, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.